Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Sam Amadon will perform this Saturday afternoon in Courtyard C at Massmoca in North Adams, Massachusetts, as part of the Solid Sound Festival. Enveloped in traditional music while growing up in Vermont, Sam's most recent album, Bright Sunny South, is a continuation of his particular method of folk music delivery. At first listen, his music seems to follow the singer-songwriter model. His background is wrapped in the Appalachian folk music tradition, and his songs feature expressive vocals and fast, finger-plucked melodies. But a singer-songwriter, he is not. Sam Amadon composes new tunes for traditional folk ballads and an array of cover songs that he's attentively made his own.
In the bright, sunny south, in peace and content, these days of my boyhood I scarcely have spent. From the deep flowing spring to the broad flowing stream, ever dear to my memory, sweeter is my dream.
Sam Amadon joins us now. Sam, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
Tell us about how you, and it's sort of a broad question, decide to write your music for the songs that you do, because the lyrics aren't yours, it's always somebody else's words. But how do you select those tunes?
Yeah, it's exactly. They're reworked, mostly folk songs, sometimes other places. And so in a certain sense, I'm a folk singer. What I end up doing, though, is I'll often, you know, just be writing music on the guitar or writing a part on the banjo, and I'll write some sort of repetitive, you know, riff. And there's often just some song, like some old murder ballad or something that's been kicking around in my head, stuck in my mind for some reason or another, which I'll then realize I can kind of sing over the riff in some way and sculpt something new out of it.
What kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to all kinds of music?
Well, in my listening daily, I'm a total jazz nerd, and I mostly listen to jazz from the 40s and 50s and 60s. But yeah, I mean, I listen to all kinds of stuff. And I grew up around a lot of folk music, and you never know where, you know, an ancient murder ballad or a gospel song, whatever, those kind of old songs, those melodies have quite an ancient quality, you know, like this ancient mysterious quality and very arcane because they're from another era. And yet there's always something very comforting and familiar about them. And once in a while, you'll hear those same qualities in maybe an R. Kelly song or Mariah Carey, you know, and you never know where that quality is going to turn up.
And you mention R. Kelly and Mariah Carey specifically because you have reworked, put your flavor on one of each of their songs, and the Mariah Carey song is on your most recent album. Could you talk a little bit more about that song?
Well, there's two that aren't folk songs on Bright Sunny South, or that didn't start as folk songs, but maybe I made them into them, or vice versa. Shake It Off by Mariah Carey and My Old Friend by Tim McGraw. And actually not by Tim McGraw, it's by his country songwriting team, but it's his song, he sang it.
Right.
So he's in a way a folk singer too. But those are two songs that, you know, one thing about the old ballads is that there's a quite funny thing with old time music where they're singing the happiest melody, you know, nah, 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 but the words are incredibly sad, you know,
right,
and dark.
And
they're
kind of
like,
everybody died and everybody died.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of weirdly the same in this Mariah Carey song. Like, if you listen to her version, which is very beautiful, it's this, you know, super upbeat, like, you know, R&B song that you'd be dancing to in the club.
Same, and you keep on playing games like you know I'm here to stay. Just like the cat on commercial life, really gotta get up out of here and go somewhere.
But the words are quite intense and kind of brutal from in a relationship standpoint. So I kind of just placed it on the piano one day a couple of years ago now, and I don't really know how to play the piano, so it's pretty limited what would come out of there anyway. And maybe I was in a certain kind of mood, you know, to go to this place. I feel like it came out in a space where the words matched a bit more of the heartbroken quality in the music.
I gotta shake you off, 'cause the loving ain't the same. And you keep on playing games like you know I'm here to stay. I gotta shake you off.
You mentioned jazz music a moment ago, and there is jazz trumpet played by Kenny Wheeler on two songs on the album. How did he come to play on your record?
That was amazing. I wasn't looking for like trumpet. I was looking for, you know, because everybody playing on the record is myself and then three of my very closest collaborative friends, Chris Vadalaro, Shahzada Smiley, Thomas Bartley, who are all people I've known, you know, some of them since childhood and more recently. But I wanted to have somebody, some presence on the album from like a whole other era, you know, just somebody from another space entirely, coming from like almost from outer space to grace us with their spirit.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know who that could be. I had a couple ideas and I tried to call. I love this trumpet player, Kenny Wheeler, who made these beautiful ECM jazz records in the 70s on the ECM label with Keith Jarrett and really, and a lot of free jazz, a lot of broad stuff. And I loved the way he had a really, really open improvisatory tone in the trumpet, not like a jazz player, but like a really truly improvising melodic musician. And it occurred to me that he lives in London, which is where I live now and where we're recording the album. And I called him up. I was incredibly nervous. And I sort of assumed he was like this, you know, super busy person. And I realized at a certain point he's much older than I thought. He's in his 80s.
Uh-huh.
And I think he's pretty much retired and just hanging out at his house. And and so at a certain point, he cut me off from my kind of like hemming and hawing and trying to explain who I was. And he's like, what's the date? When is it? And I was like, oh, well, come next Thursday for 1 hour. And he came and he was moving very slowly. You know, it took a while to get him. And he was so old that when he came in, I was worried, you know, he wouldn't be able to play because it's trumpet is such a physical instrument. But as you can hear on the album, I mean, you know, his playing, he sounded like he was about 15. I mean, he was just completely open, totally free, you know, hearing things and picking up on them. It was amazing.
With the green, green grass growing over my feet.
Another sort of influence, I would think, from a different world, as you say, coming in from a different planet, is the engineer you use, Jerry Boyce.
Yeah, that was somebody else who, he was sort of distant but also familiar in the sense that he is a English engineer, kind of legendary, who recorded, more recently he recorded some of the world music stuff like Ali Farka Touré and Toumani Diabede and the Cuban guys. And what I loved about that was that, you know, a lot of world music can get pretty slick sounding and, you know, and his recordings of it always, they're accessible, but it always sounded very raw and you know, and acoustic and a beautiful acoustic sound. But in the 70s, he had recorded a lot of that kind of English psych folk stuff like Fairport Convention and Pentangle, Bert Jansch, and a lot of musicians that I only had discovered recently coming over there, Martin Carthy, who I'd known longer. And so, yeah, Jerry came from that space, and it was great to have him having kind of like a very fresh but seasoned ears on it all.
So tell me more about the band that's touring with you and plays on the album.
On the album, I had a three musicians, Thomas Bartlett, who's my best friend since I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
who's now a very established, you know, incredible keyboardist and producer, Shahzada Smiley, who's a sneaky, multi-limbed, multi-instrumentalist, and Chris Vadalaro, who is also touring with me. I'm primarily touring duo with Chris, with little special guests popping up here and there. And Chris is actually an Albany native, as it happens,
mm-hmm.
and incredible, with Vermont ancestry, so the best of both worlds,
uh-huh.
And an astonishing, great drummer, but also just sort of astonishing multi-instrumentalist with the ability to create more sounds than you think can be possible emanating from one person. So we're in the middle of a tour right now, and it's super fun.
You live in London now, as you just said. Do you find that the place where you are, the place where you live, where you spend your time, has any influence on the kind of music that you write?
Well, in this case, I think maybe if it had an influence, it was more, the significance wasn't so much being in London, but not being in Vermont or not being in my homeland where I came from, you know, being mm-hmm. being away. And Bright Sunny South, which sounds like a happy title, but the actual song that the folk song that it comes from is a song about a Civil War soldier who's preparing to leave, or who's talking about how little time, you know, it's a nostalgic song. He's thinking back to a time he's left. And so, you know, maybe in a way it was more a reflection of being away from, you know, kind of finding myself in London kind of suddenly, which is a place where I didn't really know that many people, and almost being in the woods there in a strange way, even though I came from the woods. But at the same time, being there, I mean, as I was saying, learning about some of that English psych folk kind of stuff, was you know, that it made its way in there. There's an incredible singer named John Martin, M-A-R-T-Y-N, who we don't know very much about over here, but in there he's like as well known as Nick Drake. And that was super inspiring to hear his music.
You live in London because your wife is British. That's true, yeah?
That's correct.
Okay. How did you...
The legendary Beth Orton.
How did you decide that you would relocate or follow her?
Well, I met Beth while I was doing one of my first tours to Europe. And I was just playing a few shows scattered around England and Europe. It was like England and Copenhagen. That was my tour. Not very well-routed tour. And I met her at not at either of our concerts, but after another musician's concert that my friend Thomas was playing piano at, just at a dinner. And we kind of struck up correspondence and would visit, and things went from there. And so, you know, I was just a traveling itinerant musician at the time. And she was very much based in London with her daughter Nancy, and soon we have a son Arthur who's come along in that middle of all that. Mm-hmm. So you know, London has just been our home, and we've spent lots of time over in the U.S. as things go, but it seemed natural.
Will the family be with you at Solid Sound?
They might pop by. Yeah, we're going to be traveling around together at that time. You know, all of my parents and grandparents are all in New England, so. It's a chance to visit as well as play some music.
It is a very family-friendly festival, which I'm sure you've been told, but it's...
I love Mass Mocha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you and your wife play together?
Beth and I do play together. We don't like have a duo project
right.
as of yet, but you know, she sang on one of my albums, and I sang and was very involved in and proud to be involved in the making of her most recent album, Sugaring Season, which was a really super creative experience and you know, amazing to watch her do that, which I learned a lot from that process. You know, that process. And I toured a lot with her for that album because it was before this. You know, now I'm a little busier with my own gigs. But yeah, we make music together all the time. And mostly more just like listen to music together, argue about it, talk about different musicians, that kind of thing. That's even the more a fun part for me almost.
That sounds
kind of just the world of music, you know.
That sounds pretty sweet. Do you imagine, not that I find any fault with the music you're creating now, but do you imagine you'll ever write your own lyrics?
It may emerge in one way or another. Like, songwriting is not something that really interests me at all. And this whole thing of making these albums that are kind of sound like song, you know, that are me singing songs and singing words has happened very much by accident. You know, growing up, I was really a fiddle player. I played for contra dancing or traditional Irish sessions. And when I started getting into other kinds of music, it was still as an instrumentalist. You know, I was playing violin in more like a free jazz context or playing with rock bands in New York as an instrumentalist. So, I mean, singing was something I did kind of unconsciously with my folks growing up and coming to, you know, Old Songs Festival in upstate New York or mm-hmm. Clearwater and many other things like that. But it was never something that I had any interest in really doing myself. And it's kind of almost happened by accident over the last few years. But at the same time, you know, when I'm on stage, like talking with the audience, I mean, you have to say something and words start to, you start to enjoy using words then. So we'll see where it goes. But I'm certainly not that concerned about it. Like many of my favorite singers are not songwriters primarily. Like Bonnie Raitt, who, I mean, she writes great songs, but she's not primary, you know, she, many of her best songs are written by other people for her and are, you know, Emmylou Harris is sort of similar. She does some, but not all. A lot of country singers, many of those soul singers from back in the day. You know, the sort of Bob Dylan-based rule of doing all of those things at once is never something that has seemed too necessary to me. But, you know, it could happen.
Yeah, it is funny how we think
assumed.
Right, that's what happens now. But,
yeah.
Of course, there's songwriters everywhere. Dudes,
yeah, before 1970, I mean, it was far from assumed.
Nancy and Arthur will grow up immersed in music in a similar vein, I would think, to how you did. Will you be supportive if they turn out to want to be lawyers or doctors or something?
Well, it's yeah, that would have definitely been my way to rebel. Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's up to them, man. They're both, you know, frighteningly musical, you know, just in, you know, to start already in their own space, but they can take it wherever they want to.
Sam Amadon, it has been a real pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you so much for taking the time, and I cannot wait to catch you at Solid Sound.
Thank you.
Sam Amadon will perform at the Solid Sound Festival at Mass Mocha this Saturday. To learn more, visit solidsoundfestival.com. Sam's website is samamadon.com, and his most recent album, Bright Sunny South, is available on Nonesuch Records. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
My old friend, I recall times we had our hanging on my wall, I wouldn't trade them for gold. They laughed and they cried me, they somehow sanctified me. They're woven in the stories I have told. And tell again, my old friend, I apologize for the years that have passed since last time you and I dusted off. Those memories, the running and the races, people and the places, there was always somewhere else I had to be. Time gets thin.